Thank you, Lloyd and Mary Ann. If any of you have any questions or concerns or thoughts, you can talk with Lloyd and Mary Ann and have anything clarified. The thing that strikes me is everyone's journey is different. And I am thankful that God doesn't have us as cookie cutters. I'm glad we are all a little different, because it makes life a little more interesting. Let's all stand for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before you again this morning with grateful hearts. We thank you, Father, for the testimonies that we heard. We pray that you might bless Lloyd and Mary Ann as they continue to seek your will for their lives. We also pray, Father, for the Seaman family, especially Daryl as he travels, and think of Les and Ida and Cindy. We also pray, Father, for the hostages in Haiti right now. We pray that in all these situations that you might receive the honor and the glory which you are worthy of. Now, Father, we pray especially right now for this message. We pray, Father, that you might touch me and have your spirit work and move in what is said and what is done. We pray that if there's any evil in this room, that you might cast it out. And we ask you might give us your Holy Spirit, that each one of us would be able to understand more fully your will for our lives. We pray that you might help us to be honest and humble and holy, so that we in turn can apply your word to our lives, and that we can be a better fitted vessel to bring glory to your name. We ask these favors and blessings in Christ's name. Amen. I would like if you would turn to Matthew 5. It's a Sermon on the Mount, and I understand that the Anabaptists, they were called Sermon on the Mount people. And the reason why they were called Sermon on the Mount people is because what they read, they lived. And the question I like to ask is, are we the same? I am going to read the first 16 verses of Matthew 5, and we'll give a couple comments, and we'll go on from there. Matthew 5. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, I'm going to change something here. One word, because blessed is the same as happy. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Happy are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are ye, when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This first portion, we're not going to break it all down, but actually it's the characteristics of born-again people. People that are children of God, it's their characteristics. This is what they are. And what we'd like to zero in on, or I could give you the title. I like to ask titles and questions. And the question I have this morning is, am I salt and light to the world? Am I salt and light to the world? The thing that stood out to me is Jesus says, ye are the salt and ye are the light. It's not an option. And so if you are a child of the King, you are going to be this. And I would like to just point out some thoughts that help us see the value or the place or some comparisons of the salt. And that is, salt and light are major components in life. If you would take them out of your life, you're done. You're finished. For instance, there's three comparisons here, or three parallels to each one. The first one I'd like you to look at, or just ponder, says both are needed to sustain life. That's the common denominator between these two. It says no salt, no life. And I may have shared this before, but I had a friend. There was a couple from our church previously, and the doctors told them no salt. But he did not realize who he was talking to. The wife was extremely detailed to the point there was no salt, zero no salt. Now, I think her husband kind of sneaked me things. He ate, you know, his lunches and so on. I'm sure he ate some chips and pretzels and all that stuff. But she did not. She did not. And time went by. They went into the doctor's office or the hospital. It was the doctor's office. And something happened. And they rushed her to the hospital. And she died. She had no salt. She eliminated all salt in her life. And she died. So there is life in salt. We have to have salt. It's very valuable. And light. If you have no light, you have no growth. I'm a farmer. And I know that if I put seeds out there and there's no sun coming out, it's not going to pop. Nothing's going to happen. You need light for growth. So light and salt are major components to life. They sustain life. In John 10:10, I would like to just read that. It says here, John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. There's an interesting point on that life with the light. And I'm not a Greek scholar, but I understand this word has two meanings in life. There's a bio and a zoe. And bio is the physical, biological aspect of life. But zoe is the spiritual, inner man of life. And Jesus was saying, when he was saying this, he is the life, the spiritual life for us. He is that life. And so we need Jesus to have this life in our life, and it's part of the light that is a part of our life. All right, the second thing that I'd like to look at, both have purifying qualities. Salt. In the olden days, they used salt to put on their fish, their meat, to preserve it. It killed bacteria. And they didn't have refrigerators like we do. And so this salt was a preservative. And also salt is a healer. There's so many aspects of salt that are great. But now let me flip side the thing. That's why this verse also said about if salt has lost its savor, it's not good for anything. Because you can't put that mixed up salt out in the field because it's going to kill stuff. My wife uses salt for a weed killer. And so salt in that aspect will be deadly. But it will preserve. Salt will preserve. And light will purify. They say that UV light kills germs and all that stuff in your water. It purifies bacteria, viruses, parasites. So both salt and light are purifying qualities. Third, and that is both have penetration qualities. Salt and light will affect things around them. You can't hide it. They will penetrate, both of them. They will penetrate into the, whatever they're around. So with that in mind, the greatest disease that we have is sin. And the only thing that's going to save us from sin is Jesus Christ. So he is that salt and that light. And Jesus said that after we become a part of the family, in the beginning of Matthew here, then we, that you are then that salt, you are that light. With that being said, I do have my acronym again. And you want to sing a song? Christian hymnal 157. That way you don't have to watch me write.
Arise, my soul, arise.
No, Christian hymnal 157.
Hymnal. Ooh. Sorry, John. Let's switch books.
Oh, I said hymnal, I think. Yeah.
Ye are the light of the world. Number 157, Christian hymnal.
Salt is seasoned or sanitized, both fit. And if you would turn Colossians 4:6, I'll just read that. It says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And also, I think Mark 9, verse 50, it reads this way. It says, salt is good. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. Salt will sanitize us as a brotherhood. We need it. We need to have the salt of Jesus Christ in our lives so that we can be sanitized and also be seasoned. The second word is accord, and that is be in harmony with God. When a person has a salt of Jesus Christ in their life, they're lined up with truth. They're lined up because they are part of the kingdom of God. And then the L is living out faith by being obedient to the word of God. They don't just look it, but they live it. And the last one, being teachable and teaching. When a person has true salt, they're going to be teachable, and they're also going to be teaching. That's a person who has the salt of Jesus Christ. So I do have verses. I can share these verses. I'm not sure if I'm going to read them. But on the accord, it's Romans 8:28 and Ephesians 3:20, for those who are taking notes. And on living out his faith, is 1 John 2:3-5. Actually, maybe just read that one. It kind of helps clinch some things that a lot of people kind of overlook. 1 John 2:3-5 reads like this. And hereby we know him, or as we have salt in us, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we this, that we are in him. And then on the teachable, it's Galatians 5:22 and 2 Timothy 2:24 and James 3:17. All right, I have something here. I don't have a box. I do have a box. But this is a demonstration to hopefully I can clinch something with you to help you understand the importance of salt in your life. I have a light bulb, okay? Light bulb with pigtails. And I'm not sure if anybody's ever saw this before or not, but it really doesn't matter. I'm just going to put this in here. Where's my water boy? Oh, yeah, I can get water here. And we have, in life, we need to be connected, right? And I'm not going to put these wires together in here. I'm just going to show you. You're my man. Thank you. You're going to drink it first. They say water is life. And but so is salt and light. We need them if we are going to be God's children. Now, Art, verify. They're not touching, right?
Oh, I'm supposed to verify something.
Yeah, you're supposed to verify it. They're not touching, right?
It's really been a dark show so far.
Oh, sorry. All right. You can't, the two wires are not connected, right?
The white wire from the light is just sticking in the water, and the other wire over here is just doing nothing.
Yeah, right. All right.
Okay.
We got that. Now, what I want you to understand, this is cords that we're going to hook one to the one, and one to the other, all right? And God is where we get our power, right? All right, make sense so far? Now, with a lot of people, this is how they live. This is what they are. There's no connection to God. There is no relationship. Now, in Matthew 5, you have all these Beatitudes. And that is Jesus Christ coming into your life, okay? Now, when Jesus Christ comes into your life, you become the salt. And with the salt, you've become the light to the world. So it's through that relationship that you have in Jesus Christ, by putting salt in your life, you then can be a light to the world. I would like to ask the conclusion of this message. I'd like to try and answer this question. How do we keep our salt strong? How do we keep our salt strong? Do you know how you destroy salt? You put it out in the open. You put it out in the elements. You put it in the rain. You let air hit it. You don't protect it. You don't keep that together. Someone told me if I add more, I think it might get brighter. Well, it's about as bright as it's going to get. That's as high as the watt is. But anyway, when I was trying to think, what did Jesus do to keep his salt and his relationship with God alive? I'm going to give you some key factors. We need to keep our... Remember what the verses say. He who loses his savior, he that loses his savor, loses, it becomes nothing. So the way you keep that is you have a prayer life, you have a walk life, you have a relationship. Remember what Ed said last Sunday when he went to that rehab center? The questions was, last Sunday he said, do you have a devotional with God? Did you have your devotions with God today? The second question, I think he said, are you walking with God today? You want to keep your salt salty? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't want that thing to get too hot. Not saying it will. It is getting a little warm. But what I'm pleading is this illustration helps you understand you need to have your salt salty so that you can then be that light. When you talk to people, can they tell that when they're around you, that your words are seasoned to the point that they like to be around you because you have God in you, you have love in you, you want to give out truth? Do they see that you're in accordance with God? Do they understand that you're living out your faith? Are you the humble person you should be? And you're able then to teach other people? If you want those things, you must keep your salt salty. And you need to do that by prayer, by relationships with God, through your daily walk, devotions. So, Bible reading, I think of Psalms 1, said, in his word does he meditate day and night. Do you do that when you're going around your work? Are you thinking about, oh yeah, that scripture applies to this. Yeah, that goes to that. Does that make sense? So, I put it over here, we've said this many times, light is living in God's holy truth. But you have to be salted, you have to be connected, you have to be born again to have this. So then you can bring out the brightness of the light. I came across this. There's a man by the name of John Stott, I think his name is. He passed away in 2011. And I want to just give this as a challenge. And I think about this because of the day that we're living in. And I'm talking to myself when I read this. It says, our Christian habit is to bewail the world's deteriorating standards with an air of rather self-righteous dismay. Okay? The world's going to the pots. You know, it's just terrible. All right. We criticize the violence, the dishonesty, the immorality, disregard for human life, and materialism, materialistic greed. Now, I'm not sure if we hear much about that in our circles or not. You know, the materialistic greed. I think we have something to room to grow on that one. Because the people I connect with, it's not hard to get on money issues. And that becomes a priority, and that's not good. Because that's materialism. But anyway, the world's going down the drain, we say with a shrug. But whose fault is it? Who's to blame? Let me put it like this. If the house is dark when nightfall comes, there's no sense in blaming the house. That's what happens when the sun goes down. The question to ask is, where's the light? And similar, if the meat goes bad and becomes inedible, there's no sense in blaming the meat. This is what happens when the bacteria are left alone to breed. The question is to ask is, where's the salt? So just if society deteriorates and its standards decline until it becomes like a dark night or a stinking fish, there's no sense in blaming society. That's what happens when fallen men and women are left to themselves and human selfishness is unchecked. The question to ask is, where's the church? Where's God's children? Why are the salt and the light of Jesus Christ not permeating, penetrating, and changing our society? And I'm concerned that perhaps our salt is being left outside and deteriorating into nothing, and it'll be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. My plea to myself and to you, let's become salty. We need this salt so that we can be the light. And if we are salted by a close relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we will be that salt. We will be that seasoned person. We will be able to perhaps save people while there is yet time. Because I really think we are living in the last days. And I know my parents said that, my grandparents said that, my great-grandparents probably said that. I don't know my great-grandparents. But it's here. And the devil knows that if he can get us distracted, sidetracked, and forget about the relationship that we need to maintain. You know, it's one thing to be born again, but then we have a maintaining program that we need to keep alive and well, or we're going to lose our connection. Because as the salt dissipates, we need to get it salty again. And that's only through prayer, relationship, and meditation of God's word. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for thy truth. We pray that you might help us, Father, to become salty Christians for you so that we can be a brighter light, so that the world can see you and us, and that you could be honored and glorified, and there'll be souls saved before time and eternity meet. We now thank you again, Father, for the privilege we have of living in this land of freedom. And we pray for the leaders of this land that they might see you and fear you, and that somehow would come to a saving knowledge of you. But Lord, help us. Just help us to keep our focus on you. Help us to keep our relationship alive and real so that we can be that light to our neighbors, to our friends, to our families, so that you can be receiving the honor and glory. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.